And welcome into the Wednesday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Remember, FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley here alongside Michelle Konezovic. Intern Will. Joe Rex Road will be along very shortly. He's taking care of some duties at the Titans facility. And we'll be along to talk a little football coming up here in just a few minutes. So, Joe Rex Road, don't fear. He's coming. He'll be in here today. Michelle, how are we doing? What's going on?
Doing good, Robbie. Joe's going to come in hot on the live stream.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to run in. He's going to have his coffee. He's going to be ready.
It's like the Chris Collinsworth dramatic entrance on Sunday Night Football when he's sitting next to Al Michaels and just gives the slide in. We'll see Joe Rexroad's version of a slide in on the live stream coming up
in
just a few minutes.
I don't know how much of a slide it'll be. I told Will, I said, he's coming in hot. He's running. We got that text.
Could be. Speaking of streaming, you can watch our streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube every single day, which includes today. Our video streaming is brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry, so make sure you check that out if you have not already. Many of you have already taken advantage of the streaming on Periscope, on Twitch, and on YouTube, and we'll continue to grow those platforms each and every day, so we appreciate that. Some news on the Titans front yesterday. The kicking carousel continues. We talked yesterday on the show about how Michael Badgley had been cut by the Titans, and now Randy Bullock has been promoted from the practice squad to the active roster for the Titans, and it looks like Randy Bullock will be the one handling the field goals for the Titans as they take on the Seattle Seahawks coming up this weekend. Randy Bullock, of course, began his career with the Houston Texans, most recently with the Cincinnati Bengals. Last year, Randy Bullock didn't get a whole lot of opportunities to kick a field goal last year. He was actually 7 of 8 with field goals last year, but 21 of 26 with extra points. So last year, his final year with the Cincinnati Bengals, Randy Bullock, now going to be the active kicker for the Titans coming up on Sunday against the Seattle Seahawks. And, you know, 32 years old, a guy that has plenty of experience kicking in this league. But yet again, Michelle, here we are. It's another example of the Titans are playing the kicking carousel game once again. Michael Badgley comes in. He misses an extra point, misses a 46-yarder. I wonder how much we're going to be talking about kickers this year. I made it a personal goal this year to really not talk about kickers all that much. I hope the Titans would help me out. And it's so far, it's not going that way. They've not helped me out very much at all.
No, and unfortunately, I feel like today will not be the last time we'll be talking about this, Robbie.
Probably not.
Yeah, they just really can't get a break. I remember we were watching USA Women's Soccer talking about it a couple weeks ago. We're like, oh, we need Megan Rapinoe in here. We were talking about it, and now here we are again, back to square one.
Back to square one. We'll see if Randy Bullock can make his opportunities, his extra points. You're hoping, if you're the Titans offense, you give Randy Bullock a lot of opportunities to kick an extra point coming up on Sunday against Seattle, because that Seattle team looked awfully impressive against the Colts last week. We'll have more to get to on the Seattle front coming up a little bit later in the show. We'll be joined by Keith Bullock, former Titans linebacker, coming up at 8 o'clock. Get his thoughts on the Titans and how the Titans respond after an embarrassing Week 1 loss to the Arizona Cardinals. Again, that coming up at 8 o'clock, so looking forward to that. Randy Bullock will get his opportunity on Sunday, and Joe Rexroad will be there on Sunday as well. He has just walked in the building. He has slid into the building as well. Nice Chris Collinsworth style. Well done, Rexroad. We'll get Rexroad's thoughts here in just a second.
Into the wall.
Oh, look, there he is. We'll get his thoughts here in just a second as Rexroad gets settled into the studio here. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe Rexroad, how are we doing?
Yeah, doing fine. Doing fine. Yeah, sorry, I forgot. It's every Wednesday now. It's weekly now in the NFL. It's not bi-weekly. It's weekly. And I was leaving the house today. I'm like, oh, crap. I've got COVID testing at the Titans facility today. So
it worked out.
I may have sped a little bit.
It's all good. You ran in here,
but
too.
But if you don't get a ticket, you didn't speed, right?
That is correct. That's how that works.
Also, there was like a huge like rainstorm like downtown.
Yeah.
It was random. Came out of nowhere, but got it done, man. Got it done.
Got it done. Rex Road's ready to go.
I feel like the lights are brighter today than ever. Am I imagining this?
I turned them all the way up. My eyes were a little sleepy, so Oh, Joe can't hear me. Doesn't have
she turned them all the way up. The lights are, we're a little bit sleepy.
Like,
Michelle
I don't
had
know
to wake
if we've
up.
Ever, like, did we not know we could reach this brightness?
But, well, you and I don't like to find out if we can reach this brightness.
This is like going to 11. We went to 11 with the lights.
Yes, we did. Went to 11 with the lights. Joe Rexler, your reaction to Randy Bullock being promoted to the active roster for the Titans yesterday. Here we are again. 2 weeks, two kickers for the Titans.
Yeah, well, I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised that Badgley, and honestly, I'll never know. Bagley, I don't know.
I've heard both.
Yep. We may
I'm
never,
going Badgley. That's
a mystery we may never solve. So I figured there wouldn't be a new kicker. I guess I kind of thought, you know, Bullock was there as insurance. Is he actually going to be the next choice? Is there not someone better? I don't know. I look at Cody Parkey. I guess I could make the case that that would be a better option. Maybe
you
he
can make the case.
Maybe he doesn't like the Titans now because they cut him that year. I don't know.
Well, Randy Bullock, 7 of 8 last year. Excuse me, no, he was 21 of 26 last year. I read that wrong earlier. So I said he was 21 of 26 with extra points. He was not 21 of 26 total. 24 of 25 on the extra points. So the extra points were not a problem for Bullock.
And 21 of 26 is fine. You hope in your little time with him that he doesn't have the day where he misses two, you know?
Yeah.
Or even one. I mean, in this game, you probably need to be scrounging every point you can get. But it's not ideal. It's not ideal. But I think even less ideal is Imani Hooker going to the IR.
Yep, Imani Hooker going to the IR. We talked about it a little bit yesterday. He was banged up in the game. Did not finish the game for the Titans. And now is headed to IR. So not good news for the Titans on that front at a position where, quite frankly, I don't know how much they can afford to have injuries at that position. You don't want to have injuries at any position, but safety, there's a lot of unproven behind Imani Hooker and Kevin Byard. And really, I mean, to a certain degree, at a starting level, Imani Hooker is unproven. But going testing that safety depth, I think probably not something the Titans wanted to do, especially this early into the season.
Safeties seem important against Seattle. It seems like you need some safeties on the field when you
might
play,
be able to run a little bit
when you play that team. Yeah, and so I mean, it looked to me the other day like McDougal was the next. I mean, he was out there when Hooker got hurt, so that's why I threw out there on Twitter, you know, is Kenny Vaccaro of any interest? But it would be, you think about someone who hasn't been with anyone, and then you're going to bring him in and say, okay, go out there and play, Kenny? Probably not. I mean, there's a reason that they moved on from him, too. Like Corey Curtis pointed out, you know, or he asked me, has he gotten faster? And my response is, well, I don't know, but I don't know how fast, like, McDougal and Farley necessarily are either, but Those are the guys, and then you got Cruikshank, also on the team.
Yeah,
you don't have Brady Breeze right now. Draft pick
unfortunate
there. So it's I mean, that's a critical position this week. And Hooker was a guy who played really well in the preseason. That's a big loss for them, and not well timed.
Well, and to that point, I mean, this is kind of the game where you'd love to have both Hooker and Byard. I mean, you'd love to have them every game, but with as much down the field running and shots as Russell Wilson and this Seattle offense can take, whether it's Metcalf, whether it's Lockett, as we saw last week, Lockett got loose a couple of times against that Colts secondary, including with like 35 seconds left in the first half, running straight down the field for a 65-yard bomb, and you're just like, I don't think they might try a vertical route with Tyler Lockett.
On a second and 20.
Second and 20. Not great defense.
Got matched up with a safety in the slot.
Last week.
Yeah.
But I say that to say this is a matchup where you'd really like to have both of your starting safeties healthy and available to play a lot, because I would imagine, based on what we saw last week, both from the Seattle offense and also at times from the Titans defense, Seattle's going to test the Titans down the field quite a bit in this game, would be my guess.
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, a big key is, you know, you got to count on your guys up front to win, so that you don't have to, you know, creep in and cheat at all against the run. You know, I mean, if you do that, at least you can play safer, I suppose. But it's still, either way, it's just going to be a tough, tough assignment for this defense. And, you know, going through the Arizona game, I mean, I probably have a little bit. It's a mixed bag with the defense, but there were definitely some alarming things with the defense too. You know, certainly it was far from a perfect performance, and you know, just some of the, like, you know, like the touchdown, the Hopkins touchdown against Byard. I mean, you know, the first touchdown, was that Hopkins' first touchdown? I guess maybe that was his second. His
the
second
one in the
touchdown
in the middle of the field was the second touchdown.
Yeah,
for him.
It's one of those, like, you know, like you're. I mean, they're in man. That's straight up man. So it's Byard and Hopkins, which is not great anyway, but that's what happens when you blitz sometimes. And, you know, just so late. And then obviously, great move by Hopkins. I mean, Hopkins makes great plays, but it just, there just was some things that weren't synced up. Now, again, it's week one there, too. It's week one for everybody. But some teams played well in week one.
They did.
Some didn't.
Yes, I would say it's definitely the case. And now we'll see how much of week one is overreaction and how much of week one is true concern. Now, the tough part, if you're the Titans, is, and you brought this up many times this week, you know, we knew that the NFC West was good. Week one indications, the NFC West is going to be very good. And that's the division you've got to play this year, two games out of the gate, Arizona, Seattle. And quite frankly, I mean, there's a chance that Arizona and Seattle could be the third and fourth place teams in the NFC West. Based on San Francisco, LA, they look pretty good as well over the weekend. I don't know how it's going to shake out in the NFC West. I know all four of those teams pretty good if they can stay healthy.
I'm trying to think of divisions that have been better than that. Because usually, and of course they used to, I mean, there used to be bigger divisions. They used to only have three in a conference, but like usually there's at least one so-so or mediocre team, even in a great division.
Yeah.
I can't remember many where every single – and again, we'll see with Arizona. I know there's a lot of people like, don't overreact to that, and I agree. But, look, if Watt can stay healthy, I like the Collins pickup on D. The corner situation is troubling, but I think it's a playoff team.
Chandler Jones, good player.
He's okay. And, you know, Kyler Murray, is he going to take wipe out those, like, the pick he threw to Byard? They're awfully good. I'd love anybody who can think of a division that would compare this one in terms of, I'm not saying it's four Super Bowl contenders, but I would say 3.5.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't look at Russ and say he couldn't get there. And certainly I think the two California teams are.
Yeah, I would say so too. Pretty strong division, which is amazing because this time, what, 6 years ago, 7 years ago, wasn't all that great.
It's all cyclical, but it's interesting, you know, like when things cycle together, like this division has cycled up together, NFC East has cycled down together.
Yeah,
that's you don't see that too often.
We're off and running here today on Robbie and Rex Row, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll continue the discussion on the Titans coming up next. Right now, though, got to tell you about my friends at FanDuel Sportsbook, and the NFL is back, and FanDuel Sportsbooks want you to get the most out of every play, and that's why they're giving everyone a $10 risk-free bet every week. All you got to do is bet a same-game parlay bet with three legs or more, and if your bet doesn't win, FanDuel will pay you back up to $10. Got the Ravens and the Chiefs coming up this week. Maybe you like the same-game parlay options for the Titans and the Seahawks. Everything is on the table. It's one of the many reasons I love betting with FanDuel Sportsbook. They get you your money quickly, it's easy to use, safe and secure, and it's America's number one sportsbook. And there's no feeling like nailing a same-game parlay bet. So lock in your bet today on FanDuel Sportsbook and get up to $10 back if your bet doesn't win. And if you're new to FanDuel, claim your 30-1 odds on either team to win in the biggest game this Sunday against the Chiefs and the Ravens. Just sign up with promo code ROB. Once again, that promo code is ROB. You must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Refund issued is non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. A max refund of $10. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Same game parlay available for multiple sports and states on mobile and web. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. ESPN 94.9 is the official English radio home of the Nashville Soccer Club. Listen in this Saturday's Nashville SC takes on Toronto. Pregame starts at 6:15, and the match begins at 6:30. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexrode here on ESPN 102.5. The game brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexrode, Michelle Knezovic, intern Will here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Talking Titans, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Got a texter that says, come on, the AFC South is just as good as the NFC West. All four are contenders.
I mean, I can't prove that wrong. It's possible. You never know how season's going to play out, you know? The Houston Texans may be a new era of excellence.
I mean, I would like to point out the Houston Texans, undefeated. Well, no one had that coming.
Exactly. Is this the biggest mismatch this year among the divisions? Probably. I mean, I guess who does the NFC East play? If they play a really good AFC, who do they play this year? I'm sure we can figure it out from week one already. Like, that would be the only other opportunity for a mismatch because of how bad that division is.
It looks like they play the AFC West.
That's a pretty good mismatch.
Well, I say that. Hold, please.
I mean, one of them must have played an AFC team, right? No? First week?
It looks like they play the AFC West.
So Chiefs, Raiders, Chargers. Yeah, that's a big advantage AFC, and this one is big advantage NFC. And really, the AFC is a lot better than the NFC, top to bottom, overall. Although I do like Jameis and the Saints right now.
They look pretty good week one.
Week one. But they do have a good coach. They do have good players. Like, they're good up front, which is still really what football's about, isn't it? A lot.
It's a lot of the equation.
Yeah, like
we found out on Sunday.
Yeah, like we're going to talk about so many things, and there's a lot of things to not like about the Titans. But really, like, they couldn't block the other team. It's pretty basic.
Did you see the clip that was floating around on Twitter yesterday that I guess I had not seen until yesterday? Of Buda Baker coming in on a blitz and just planting Taylor Lewan right on his backside.
Yes.
That was not good.
And actually Brennan he's like, did you see Buda Baker knock Taylor Lewan down? Like, after the game, like, no, I did not see that, no. And then that was actually yesterday, the same thing for me. It was the first time I saw it. Now I've seen it 78 times
because
everybody's tweeting it. Like, you know, Baldy's breakdowns and stuff and – yeah, it's one of those, you know, you're probably just off balance a little bit, but boy, that's not great. No. It's kind of like Josh Norman's always going to have, like Derrick Henry putting him on, you know, like just launching him into the air.
Yes.
Yeah. People who don't like Taylor Lewan are saving that one.
Yeah. We'll get into a little bit more of Taylor Lewan coming up later in the show because it's been an interesting reaction to him this week. Looking forward to that discussion coming up a little bit later. Back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Joe from Maryland texting in, for the love of God, stop playing 8 to 10 yards off the wide receiver, especially if you have an all-out blitz. There's a lot of that this weekend, too.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things. But I will say this, like, if you're in zero, if you're in man, again, zero means no safety. I mean, zero, you know, zero means that, like, it's just straight man across the board.
Did you learn that from Peyton Manning on the broadcast?
Well, no, but
night?
They said zero a million times. Zero, zero, zero. I've seen some bad defenses play way too much zero.
Yeah.
But the problem is, like, you can say, you know, don't play off them. But if you are in zero and you're going to press Hopkins, you know, that could also go – like, it's kind of an in-between thing. You got to be able to react quickly. And, look, Hopkins made a great spin move there. He knew exactly where the defense was. But that was – just like the other touchdown Byer gave up, it's like, man, one step late. And it's all it takes in this league. One step late reacting. Like, giving up a 5-yard little dink to Hopkins in that situation is not the end of the world.
Right.
You live with that. You hope the blitz gets home. If not, okay, fine. But you have to be there and make the tackle. And he wasn't.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texter that says, I seriously don't think Todd Downing is the answer at OC. Do you think the Titans will move on? If not, this team is going to be wasted this year. It's got too much talent, and Todd's not going to do anything with it. But to answer the question, I don't think they're going to move on from Todd Downing after week one.
Fire Todd Downing. Fire him right now.
How much of that did you get in your mailbag this week at the Athletic?
Yeah, I'm going through that right now, and yeah, there's some fire Todd Downing and start Harrison Bailey. Those are very strong themes right now in Tennessee football fans, yes. Titans and Vols. Yeah, look, I agree. It was not a good debut for Todd Downing as the Titans OC. It was a terrible performance by the offensive line, which a performance that bad by an offensive line, very few OCs will look good. Again, any OC, I would think, would look at the whole situation and say, Kendall Lamb will never be singled up with Chandler Jones, for example. So it's not taking everything off his plate, but, yeah, everybody, I would say, calm down a little bit. It's been one game. There are a lot of things that went wrong. I can't imagine, like, Mike Vrabel, at any point, like let's go 8 weeks down the road and, like, things are going poorly and the offense is bad. I still wouldn't think Vrabel would, like, fire Todd Downing in the middle of the year.
Probably not.
I don't think he would do it. He might, you know, switch things around or, I don't know, maybe he'll start calling offensive plays.
Which
who knows?
Would be awesome.
Which would be awesome, actually, but. Yeah, the idea of like an in-season firing, I think would take more than just bad performance. Like it would take like fights in the building or something. Yeah, you know? So Todd Downing's gonna get this year. He's had one bad week.
Well, and to that point, it's difficult for me to imagine that the Titans' offensive line on this Sunday is going to be anywhere near as bad as they were against Arizona. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean I think the Titans are going to win this game. We'll see what happens on that front because Seattle looked awfully impressive, and I realize that Seattle made Indy's offensive line look pretty bad. But, I mean, it would take a pretty special performance for the Titans' offensive line to be as bad as they were last week. So I would hope that there is maybe something as simple and as trivial as some pride on the line that you go back and you work this week and you come out with a much better performance on Sunday.
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt that'll be a big message in the building. And – I can buy a little bit of, okay, now Ben Jones and Nate Davis, who basically were out, like, certainly for 3 weeks. I mean, 10 days of COVID, and before that, I don't think either had been out. I mean, I think you're talking 3 weeks plus of nothing from them, and then they come in 2 days before the game, and here you go. I would think that this week would be pretty beneficial to those two guys. And, you know, Luan on his own just has to be better. I'd say there's a lot of test of your pride stuff, test of your pride talk in that building this week.
Heidi from Dixon texting in on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Heupel should coordinate the Titans offense. Heupel spelled H-Y-P-E-P-O-L-E. Heupel. So Josh Heupel, I assume, is who she's talking about.
Heupel, okay.
Like Heupel's got his hands full up in Knoxville at the moment.
He does. I like what he's doing.
Yeah.
I like his I like what he's calling up there. I like the designs.
I don't know that the Josh Heupel style offense translates to the NFL all that well.
But I'll say this, you know, I would not hate seeing the Titans spread out with a little tempo here and there as a curveball.
Yeah.
I would not hate that. Get Tannehill in a little rhythm. Get those receivers the ball quickly. I think there's some real benefit in trying to take advantage of your personnel better than they did Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
Got to block.
But there's a whole lot that has to get better Sunday, just from the entire operation offensively. And I suspect that it will. The big question is, ultimately, is that going to be enough to win the game? Like, how much better does it have to get? That would be my question.
What's going on?
We got people talking.
People are talking at us. I was like, oh, my God, my voices in my head have returned.
Got to watch out for those, Rex Road.
Thank goodness. Everything's all right.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. When we come back, we'll get hot and heavy into the Julio stuff that – after we were on the air yesterday, really took on a life of its own. We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Visit volstatebank.com to learn more about our free Kasasa checking account. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic, intern Will here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Going to have Vanderbilt football coach Clark Lee join us to begin the 7 o'clock hour. We'll get into Clark Lee's first win as head coach of the Vanderbilt Commodores coming up here in about 30 minutes. So looking forward to that conversation. But Joe, for a lot of the show yesterday, we spent time talking about the Julio Jones situation. Mike Vrabel with some interesting comments on Monday at his press conference regarding Julio Jones' personal foul penalty. Hey, look, we both kind of said different comments by Mike Vrabel. I think eyebrow-raising comments by Mike Vrabel. But at the end of the day, we're not sure exactly what that means in terms of the relationship between Mike Vrabel and Julio Jones. Well, this took on a life of its own yesterday, both here locally, but especially nationally as well, including on First Take. Stephen A. Smith with some interesting thoughts on it, as we'll hear just in here a second. Here was the discussion yesterday regarding the Julio Jones-Mike Vrabel situation on First Take on ESPN.
Because I'm thinking about Julio Jones, and even coming into the season, when he only played 9 games last year, had about 771 receiving yards. The previous 6 years, he had a minimum of 1,394 receiving yards per season and was universally recognized one of the top 2 receivers in football.
Yes.
The previous 6 years. That's how big-time Julio Jones is. Here's the downside. What you heard coming out of Atlanta, a guy that didn't practice much, a guy that didn't seem to be on the same page with the coaching staff, that frustrated the coaching staff because of his commitment to the work off the field. I'm talking about work.
I can understand that. No, I get it.
I don't know. I don't cover the Atlanta Falcons.
No, I get it.
You heard those things.
Understood.
And so if you're Vrabel, I've seen Vrabel as a football coach. He ain't never done that to no player before.
Yeah.
So why would you do it to a new dude who's Julio Jones, who you acquired in the offseason? There's got to be something there that has ticked you off about him on a personal level, because that was a personal shot.
Or a message, yeah. Message to the team as well.
A message to him.
He is from the New York Patriots.
Yeah, it's not really a message to the team. It's him personally.
It's him personally.
It's him personally because, again, Stephen A. mentioned injuries, things of that nature. Coaches don't lie. I just gave up all this to get you.
That's right.
And I'm depending on you to keep my job.
That's right.
And if you are not available at times that I need you,
yeah,
it's going to frustrate me.
Right.
In certain situations.
And they've been ravaged with COVID, yeah, and all of this other stuff. And so you're looking at it from the standpoint of an absence of continuity and cohesiveness that you need in order to be ready for a team when they come in there, like Arizona. And then on top of it all, I'm able to point the finger at you because I think you're doing something, doing things that you're not supposed
but
to be
doing.
But here's
what I would say to that too, though.
Mm-hmm.
I would have preferred him.
Sure.
To talk to him on the side if it was really about the 15-yard penalty.
Right.
Hey, man, you can't do that.
I agree.
You can't. You hurt me.
But here's my thing.
But he didn't do that.
I'm sitting across from you, and I can't imagine a coach doing that to you. I just can't imagine it.
So that was a conversation between Stephen A. Smith and Keyshawn Johnson yesterday on First Take. I guess Keyshawn found enough time to get out of the film room with Cam Newton to go on the show yesterday. What did you make of that discussion there and Stephen A. bringing up that it must mean something personal between Mike Vrabel and Julio Jones based on the comments from Vrabel?
Yeah, quite a day on the whole Vrabel-Julio front, which first of all, one thing that brings to mind for me is I do think this is an example of how the NFL media cares more about the Titans this year. I mean, I think it's – which, again, has a lot to do with the fact that they added a superstar, future Hall of Famer, to the offense.
Yep.
Who is a polarizing player who is getting, people are taking shots at him in Atlanta on his way out and all that stuff. I mean, Charles Robinson, on our show yesterday said the same thing. You know, there was some bad feelings in Atlanta and all that stuff. So I think, one, it does illustrate again that the Titans are a little bit more in the discussion. Not that this is how you want to be in the discussion, but, man, the range of thoughts on all of this, nationally and locally, I will say, look, I don't agree with Stephen A. that it must be that, but my initial reaction, did I think that it could be? Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, again, I had some arguments with some other people who cover the Titans about what I strongly believe, which is that this is a rarity for Vrabel. You know, someone's throwing me like Dylan Raidens and Fitzpatrick this camp. Like, okay, he was asked about those guys and said they need to get better. That's not this. That's not the same thing. And actually, I think Jared and Caroline on their show yesterday, they played the original don't do dumb bleep quote after Cleveland last year. And Layman's question was not about Rashawn Evans. Layman's question was about, in general, losing composure. That's one of the big ones, was Rashawn Evans had a big penalty in there, but that wasn't the only example. So even that one, it wasn't a specific Rashawn Evans question. It was overall, and again, it was also after an embarrassing loss, right?
Right.
So there's one parallel between this and that. I mean, there's a lot of things that could go into this, but it's amazing to see the range of, and locally, the range of, there was some, you know, Gentry and Layman tweeted yesterday, like, I don't think this is anything, basically. I'm paraphrasing, but, you know, just motivating the team, and I don't think Julio will take offense. And then Jared, I mean, he's taking this down to when Vrabel and Robinson are getting fired because of Julio. You know, so, I mean, it's, we've got, man, it's quite a range here. And again, I don't know if this was, like, use this to motivate the team, if this was frustration with Julio for other stuff that bubbles up, or something else, or a little combination of different things. But you can't tell me that, although the overreaction is clear and also very predictable, especially, I mean, that's what First Take does. They take a little thing and then they'll turn it into the biggest thing ever. But you cannot tell me this was not notable / out of character, out of the norm for Vrabel.
Well, I agree. It's out of the norm. I hesitate to go as far as, you know, this must mean that there's something personal between Vrabel and Julio. Like, Julio Jones has played for the Titans for 1 week of an NFL regular season. Like, I would hope, if you're the Titans and if you're Mike Vrabel, even if he's done things so far that maybe deep down you don't like and you're not a fan of, and I have no reason to know whether or not he has. But if that, let's just say that is the case, and Julio has rubbed them the wrong way for some reason early on, you're 1 week in. Are you really going to let that frustration boil over to the media now? Like, I would hope not.
I hear you. Again, it's on its face. It's a 10-0 game, it's 3rd-and-1, and you get a dumb penalty. And you're a veteran, and you're a star, and you're supposed to know better. So it's worth getting mad about. Again, that quote right after the game hits me differently than a day later. But, yeah, it's, look, we're all speculating. And, again, like, Jared is going into this, like, do you regret the Julio trade? I mean, it's like it's over. Like, also, I have to disagree, too. You tell me if you're – did he stink Sunday? I mean, he didn't do. He had a drop.
Know how you?
He had a drop that you can't have.
How do you judge Julio Jones from Sunday, or AJ Brown from Sunday, or how do you judge Derrick Henry from Sunday?
Right. I guess Derrick Henry stunk too. I guess Derrick Henry stunk.
There was no blocking, so I mean they couldn't get anything going in the passing game. Now, was Julio Jones running around wide open all day? No. So I mean, I guess you'd like to see him create a little bit more separation. But
again, 1.8 seconds sometimes is tough to get open.
Yeah. So, I mean, I came away from the game Sunday not really having an opinion on Julio Jones one way or the other because I was so focused on the offensive line.
That's the correct assessment. But, you know, he stunk. Do you regret him? J-Rob and Vrabel, oh, this is going to get him fired. Oh, man, I love week one overreaction. It can be just amazing.
Now, I will say, if the line plays better and Julio Jones, you know, Ryan Tannehill throws the ball 35 times this week and Julio Jones finishes with 3 catches for 42 yards, yeah, I'd probably be concerned then.
Well, that probably says a little bit more about him getting open. But, yeah, I did watch him on a fair amount of plays just to see how I thought he ran well. I mean, I thought he moved well. I mean, Tannehill forced the pick Tannehill had was forcing a throw to Julio Jones and he really wasn't open. I mean, if you make a perfect throw there, then you have a chance, but that was a force. So is that trying to force it to Julio Jones? I mean, I guess in that instance, yes. But for the most part, this came down to he couldn't even set up.
Yeah.
Way too often.
Way too often. And, again, I just don't know. I mean, Derrick Henry didn't run. He was not effective at all on Sunday. How do you take a judgment away from that when Derrick Henry is getting hit 4 yards deep in the backfield half the time and gets the ball?
Yeah, Derrick Henry over the hill. You look at the stats. Got to be.
Must be. We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Back with more on the Titans next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
I think that those are absolutely – that's absolutely nothing that we coach or teach. So that would fall into the category of doing dumb that hurts the team. Right there in bold letters. Goes from 3rd and 1 to 3rd and 16.
Those were the comments on Monday from Titans head coach Mike Vrabel that are kind of making the rounds nationally. It was on First Take. We played that conversation between Stephen A. Smith and Keyshawn Johnson in the last segment, and it's been all over the place. It was on NFL Network yesterday morning as well, so lots of reaction to Mike Vrabel's comments on Julio Jones. Ben, texting in on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. It is out of the norm because he hasn't done it weekly, referring to Vrabel, but he has done it several times, so it's not worth the 3-day explosion.
I responded to Ben that he hasn't done it several times. It's not true, but I agree that it's overblown. I mean, it's been making the rounds and then some. And again, taken to I don't know how anybody can have certainty on this. And also, you know, Vrabel talks today. Maybe Vrabel will come out today and say, guys, let me break down this quote for you and exactly why I said it.
Yes.
You know, here, let me tell you all the things. Again, it could be.
Comes out arm around Julio Jones at the podium.
Yeah, it could be like, hey, you know, we're best friends. Or get him a headlock, give him a noogie. You know, he's mad at it. I mean, who knows? But, I mean, look, it could mean that there's frustration beyond that play. It could be that it's trying to motivate everybody, and Julio's a good example. You know, here's the star player. You also can't do things like that. I mean, maybe Vrabel just watched the film of the whole thing and made him even more mad all over again than he was mad after, you know, the performance Sunday on the field.
I was going to say, like, maybe it's just as simple as he was just mad about the penalty and said, you know what? There was no filter on Vrabel then. Usually there's some sort of a filter at the press conference.
Yeah, again, it's just, like, to me, the interesting thing about it, and again, my initial reaction was that he just doesn't do that much. It's hard. As someone who had many, many, many times has tried to ask him about individual players, good or bad. Somebody did something good.
Yep.
Somebody did something bad. Many times. Fourth season with Vrabel. Usually it's just – it's very little – specific stuff, and it's just not much there. He does not really like to get into individual stuff. I think he doesn't like to, you know, praise guys too much and whatever, rat poison with the Saban.
Yes.
And then also certainly doesn't like to rip them, doesn't like to talk injuries and all that stuff. He's very sensitive to being a player in the league and not and basically like doing it like Belichick does in that way. I mean, they're not the same personality, but the same kind of approach with media, like, you guys don't need anything on that. Well, why help you? Like, I'll tell you stuff that I have to tell you.
Well, it's interesting because, you know, the Titans have never really been part of conversations like this on a national scale. Certainly lately. I mean, they were getting hammered last year from the COVID stuff with the Bills thing was going around. The whole league was going after the Titans last year. So there was that they had to deal with. And, you know, they probably would never say this, but I think internally they used everybody kind of ganging up on them last year as probably a little bit of a rallying cry and came out and just thumped Buffalo in that game with no practice.
Josh Norman, took the brunt of it on a Tuesday night.
Yes, he did. A fateful Tuesday night for Josh Norman here in Nashville, Tennessee. But I say that to say, you know, this is a conversation, number one, that you don't want to have about your team circulating about out there. I don't think it's the world's biggest deal at the end of the day. But this is going to be an interesting test for this group of there's going to be more attention on them this year, and there's going to be more discussion about the Tennessee Titans. And with that, potentially, if you're not careful, comes more distractions as well. How do you handle that if you're Vrabel, if you're this leadership group? Do you pay any attention to it? Like, how does that work with this new kind of situation with Julio Jones coming in attracting more fanfare than they've had before.
Yeah, for sure. And look, I mean, Sunday, looking forward to like the atmosphere in Seattle, and it's always, you always learn, you know what's happened better if you can see the entire field from the press box. But I'll be looking at that sideline. There's going to be a lot of attention on that sideline, you know, especially if things go wrong. I mean, it's a very appealing story for media. The you know, the star player and the coach. And again, I have no idea if there's anything, if there's been one thing remotely bothersome to Vrabel other than this penalty, except that there's no way he liked that he didn't practice in the, you know, in camp.
Sure.
Now, Julio got hurt. He came out and practiced. He hurt something, and he was out for a long time. So, I mean, whenever Vrabel was asked about that, he's like, well, whoever's available is available. You know, so but
well, and the other thing is,
he would never indulge all the questions about the preparation time, but of course he agrees with that. I mean, every coach thinks practice is important because it is.
Oh, it is for sure. But it's also like, you know, Julio Jones practiced all week last week leading up to the game. Nate Davis, Ben Jones did not practice all week last week heading up to the game. So it's not like Julio Jones is just up there on an island of not getting a lot of practice time.
Well, exactly. And so that's where, yeah, you're right. That's where it's like, okay, so if he's back now, yes. I mean, I guess we can go back today with Vrabel and we can get more questions about the – like, to me, it's just – it's over. Like, we know it was not ideal that a bunch of guys, especially offensively, weren't working together. But, like, now, okay, it's game week after week, and you got to keep building that. I mean, I think it's kind of a dead storyline, but absolutely – I think one thing that he does do quite often is sort of express general, like, not necessarily frustration, but he generally expresses how important it is to be available.
Yes.
Yeah, it's important to be. He's out there. Like, a lot of times if you do ask about a specific player, for example, whoever's playing well, like in camp. You
like
know,
Marcus Johnson.
Marcus Johnson, Chester Rogers. What's his answer? Well, he's available. It's good to be available.
Yeah.
You know, kind of like a little passive-aggressive shot at people who aren't available, maybe.
Yeah.
You could take it that way. I mean, we could dissect these words left and right. But the only thing we know is that he didn't like the penalty.
But every coach in the NFL would not like the penalty.
Right. And again, there's some coaches in the NFL who make that comment about Julio Jones or whoever. And locally, at least, it's like, okay, well, this happens all the time. It's just that it doesn't with him.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Aaron texting in, the line on Vrabel giving Julio a noogie at the podium today, plus 200,000.
I mean, that would be amazing, though, wouldn't it?
It would be. Probably not going to happen.
Nice.
I got another text that says, I'm pretty sure he said don't do dumb bleep that hurts the team before.
Yes.
But maybe not about a specific player, but he's definitely said it before. I think the reaction has been overblown, personally. This coming from Ross in Clarksville.
Yeah, and again, we talked about it yesterday, and TD pointed out, you know, it was about Rashawn Evans, which I think it was about Rashawn Evans largely, but Jared, they played the quote on their show yesterday, and Layman's question was, did you think your guys lost their composure during the Browns game? And then he said, yeah, it falls in the category, don't do dumb bleep, right? So I think everybody kind of took that as Rashawn Evans was probably the leader in the clubhouse of the dumb bleep. But there were other – I mean, they pretty much melted down in that first half with the Browns scoring every time they touched the football.
Including Kendall Lamb.
That's right. Kendall Lamb had a TD that day too, yes. So technically, you could look at that and say that he actually wasn't asked about a specific player. But, yeah, here and there, Vrabel has, you know, an emotional quote, just usually isn't directed at individuals. But is it overblown? I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe today we can overblow it more.
Maybe so. Ben on the text line. And Stephen A. doesn't listen to all of Mike's pressers. He just likes to seem like he knows everything, if I could read.
Right. Well, look, I mean, this is the problem always with – I mean, this is always a problem, you know, with, like, national talk shows and in any market whenever – even if you're just talking general football stuff. If you follow a team closely and then you listen to those guys talk about it, you're like, oh, no, that's wrong, or, oh, you obviously didn't watch this or that.
Yeah, like Max Kellerman and Keyshawn Johnson, before we got on the air, were breaking down the Green Bay Packers, and it was rough.
Was it? Yeah. So there you go. If and that's why, frankly, that's why local coverage is better than national coverage pretty much across the board. But I will say that, like, I think Stephen A's assessment, which was that he doesn't do this, is accurate because he doesn't. So I don't know if Stephen A knows that from watching all his pressers or just
– maybe he's tuned in to us yesterday.
Maybe. I mean, it's – again, I mean, I think it was on this show. Were we on when they beat the Patriots? I don't even remember. That was, maybe it was shortly after that.
Shortly after.
Yeah, shortly after that playoff run. Yeah. See, they're a good old brand there. But, I mean, again, I made a big deal out of that, like the Kenny Vaccaro positive quote at the time. Doesn't happen much.
Yeah. Lance texting in. Maybe Vrabel saw that Corey Davis went 5 for 97 yards and 2 touchdowns and no personal fouls, and that upset him. Maybe he looked and said, yeah, man, let Corey Davis walk. Could have Corey Davis.
Clearly, Corey Davis better than Julio Jones now. What else could you possibly conclude from week one?
He looked pretty good week one. Shout out to Corey Davis.
Hey.
They'll see Corey Davis in a few weeks.
That's right. In New York. Well, actually, sorry, Michelle. In New Jersey.
New Jersey, yeah. Yes.
See?
Technically.
Now you know what I'm talking about.
That's right.
Yeah, that's not a great not a great stadium setup there either. It's out in the middle of just
MetLife
ugly highway.
Exactly.
Yeah. But Corey Davis playing some ball right now.
That's right. When we come back, we'll be joined by Vanderbilt head coach Clark Lee. We'll get into the first win of the Clark Lee era. Look ahead to Stanford coming up against Vanderbilt as well this Saturday. All that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.